going to speak for myself. Everyone agrees. All the fans agree. You're the voice of reason.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of Guantanamo Based Podcast.
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
And just to let y'all know, it'd be super helpful to us if maybe you just hit that like, subscribe button, rate us 5 stars. That'd be super helpful.
Friend of the pod, Paris, posted a story on Instagram.
God bless you, Paris. You get a mad shout out for that. I believe she said this might be her current favorite podcast right now.
Yes. And she's a Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, we need more Guantanamo Bays in our listenership.
For sure.
We need the army. We need our own
thing. You were like, every race should be a Cuban. You're as far as the eye can see.
But yeah, we need our own Bayhive. Is that patented? We're not allowed to call it a Bayhive. We will probably get.
What's funny is I always pronounce it a beehive. Like Beyonce?
Oh, then we're clean.
Yeah, we got the Bayhive, baby.
You don't say Beyonce. It's Beyonce.
But isn't it called the Bayhive?
Well, it's spelled B-E-Y, because that's how you spell Beyonce.
Uh-huh.
If it was spelled B-E, it'd be even more, you know, if Beyonce was spelled B-E.
Oh my God.
O-N-C, with like an accent over E, then
this is kind of crazy.
Bro, you're dumb.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, I'm going to look up right now. Is it pronounced Bayhive or Beehive?
You don't have to do this. You don't have to put my gay audience through this live Google search.
Because there's no wine, bee fam. The literal word bay is pronounced bay. You can't make this up unless you're in the hive. Unless you're the hive.
Okay, what's the source?
Phonetic.
Black like vanilla. Black like
vanilla. Well, fuck.
I don't know if that's a good source or a bad source.
Actually, you're right. My brain didn't fully piece together the like vanilla part.
Yeah.
I really packed that.
Honestly, I know less than what I did before I Googled this. We're going to put that as an official poll in this week's episode.
Okay.
Is it pronounced Bayhive or Beehive?
Fuck.
How would you feel if
Take
I'm right?
Gay card away.
How would you feel if I'm right?
I mean, I'd feel like my gay card would need to be taken away. Bring the battering ram to,
but then, like,
to
do
the
I,
hotel I'm staying at.
Do I get the card? Would I take the gay card?
Oh, that's a fun idea. Fuck.
Okay.
We need to stop discussing this while we record, because that's a feature.
Some asshole's going to take our script idea. Man, we got some good ones.
Where gay men have gay cards.
And give them to their straight friends. And now their straight friends are gay.
The politics are muddled, but...
But it was a romp.
But what a romp. What a romp and a yarn.
4 stars. Roger Ebert.
It was dead, but...
Love
jazzing with you, Brian.
Ah.
Let's just throw structure out the window. We don't need any of the things we've been building a fan base on.
I think we do.
All right, fine. I'll go first because I'm the prettiest.
Okay. Well, you know, we have a lot to do today. We're going to go see Creed 3 once we start.
I have a lovely strawberry vanilla pre-roll that I got today at the dispensary, which would be lovely before the movie.
Okay. Good. Great.
So just put that on.
Was it like themed in a boxing way?
No.
So like, this is knockout strawberry cough or whatever.
No, but I do love a theme.
Yeah.
No, it just made the most sense at the price point. It seems like a good flavor.
So, okay, good. Well, I'm excited for that. That does.
Did you ever see Creed 1?
I'm a really bad Rocky fan.
You're such a prolific boxer.
I know. It's just, and this is maybe like when you love something so much that, because boxing movies, as good as a lot of them are, and just sports movies in general, I love sports movies, but they also become very predictable.
Mm. Favorite boxing movie, go.
No, the original Rocky.
Oh, well, okay.
And Cinderella.
Besides Rocky. Okay.
Cinderella Man.
You love Cinderella Man.
I love Cinderella.
Yeah. I'm more partial to the Brandy adaptation of Cinderella, but
Cinderella girl. Yeah, when she goes toe-to-toe with the fairy godmother and she goes 15 rounds with her, and she was an underdog, but she fucking won. She was a Cinderella.
Left that bitch looking like a pumpkin.
Yeah. That'd be some good trash talk. Like, it's midnight, bitch.
We have to stop just giving these ideas away for free.
I know.
Cinderella has to be public domain at this point.
We need to cut this shit and put it in the Patreon, okay? Yeah, what is, when you want to adapt Cinderella, do you have to pay rights to some kind of descendant of a 16th century German
That's
children's
funny.
Book writer? They're just still
like, yeah, they're
money.
Up in the hills.
Is that fairy godmother paid for my fucking beach house? Where did that tale came from? It feels very Anglo.
Google it, Brian.
No.
This is another gay thing I probably don't know.
I don't know if it's like embedded in gay culture to know where the origins of Cinderella came from.
Yeah, I mean, just pop cultural minutiae, I think, is a cornerstone of...
Yeah, but that's also like a cornerstone of people who work in our industry and people who live in where we live. It's like,
the industry is over Cinderella.
They got
but
over
the
it.
Gays remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Her iconoclasm.
So, Cinderella aside... We have a few things. We have our segments. We've nailed
the Fighter. Out. That's my favorite boxing movie.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? I think The Fighter.
I remember when Christian Bailey's high on meth. Remember, and he's like late to a job interview or something, and he runs out of his trap house. And he's like, "Where'd you park the fucking car, Bobo?"
I think
great line.
I think fucking Leo in Wolf of Wall Street owes so much of his performance to watching Christian Bale.
Interesting
do what he did. And I hadn't had that thought until now, but The Fighter came out like 2 years before Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
and it was similarly. Like, the drug scenes were kind of shot in a similar way. And I think Christian Bale's a better actor, period. So I think Leo probably saw that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Not everyone would agree, unfortunately.
I will give Leo DiCaprio this. He kind of looks like Jack Nicholson. And therefore is kind of the heir apparent.
He is the heir apparent.
Even though they have different energies. I just think Jack Nicholson's so much more dangerous. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
And fucking, yeah.
But they have a similar level of Hollywood entitlement.
And a physical inclination towards their performances. They're sure. Very good at just throwing themselves on the floor mm-hmm. and through a door.
And Leo physically looks more and more like Jack Nicholson every
That's
day.
That's what I'm saying.
And a lot of people, yeah, I've heard the Leo and Jack Nicholson comparisons for a while.
The younger side pieces and stuff. There are parallels there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But anyway, I totally threw this off course by just exclaiming out of nowhere, The Fighter!
No, but thank you because I do think I like The Fighter better than Cinderella Man.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Even though you grew up more with Cinderella Man.
Yeah, so
sentimental value.
Right, it hits harder. But as far as movies go, and I saw The Fighter in college, and I know the Mickey Ward story, his rivalry with Arturo Gatti, which they didn't even cover in The Fighter. It was more about like his upbringing. But it was a really well done movie. It was a movie about drug addiction. So I don't think about it as a sports movie, you know?
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a damn good movie. Best boxing movie out there. And I think... In the Rocky movies, they always center around the big fight.
Right.
So that's why I feel like boxing movies became so predictable that as much as I wanted to see Creed, like I don't get out to the theaters a whole lot in general. I just watch what's streaming for the most part. And then I was just like, it's another boxing movie.
Right.
As much as I like boxing and I've loved boxing movies in the past, I felt maybe a little burnt out when the Creed series started.
I know,
but I heard such great things.
That was great.
I feel really ashamed that I haven't.
I think you like it. Part two, I was trying to watch today, actually, but time just got away from me.
Yeah.
And then I had a similar realization. I was like, wait, it's a boxing movie. Like, there's going to be a showdown between him and probably like a different
type of fighter
and a different race. You know, it's like this time it's like, I was going to say this time he's Russian. I'm like, wait, last time he was Russian.
That was the one that, and what I know about Creed 2 was like, it's almost the sequel to Rocky 4, where Rocky fights Ivan Drago, who kills Apollo Creed.
That's Creed 2, is what you're saying.
Creed 2 is a sequel to Rocky 4.
Right. Like, yeah, that's what I figured, right? Because is it also a Russian competitor?
Exactly. And I think it's like Ivan Drago's
son.
Right, something like that. And, you know, Ivan Drago killed Apollo Creed, who, you know, obviously.
Oh, whoa, I didn't remember that.
In Rocky 4, at the very beginning of Rocky 4.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you're quite familiar with, like,
there's a very famous line. Yeah, Rocky IV is like, it's so Cold War. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was in that.
But Ivan Drago says famously, like, if he dies, he dies. Because he like knocks out Apollo Creed and everyone's like, oh my God, is he okay?
Okay. I think I've seen part 4.
Yeah.
My brother had all.
Oh yeah. I remember the box set.
Yeah.
I saw them visiting you guys like for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's really.
Have you been to the steps in Philadelphia and taking the photo of you like your arms?
I've never been to Philadelphia. Oh. So.
Well, I went and I did.
And you did the thing, and were people like, get a fucking load of this guy.
No, people were laughing and shit, because I was literally running. I was like in jogging clothes.
Okay.
It was like so, running distance from my hotel.
Yeah, you weren't like, you know, oh, look at me up the steps. You were actually being Rocky.
Yeah. My dad was like, oh, we got to go on a run, and end up on the Rocky steps. I was like, hundo P, homie, let's do it.
That's awesome.
Because I talked to my dad with Ebonics. I don't know what to call it.
I wasn't going to question that.
When it comes from me, but...
So, you know, let's get to our regularly scheduled segments.
We should do that.
Yeah. And we might want to go ahead and start with News from the Motherland, where we read you a news story from Cuba. the island nation, 90 miles off the coast of Florida, and share the news story and just kind of dissect what does this mean for Cuba? What does this mean for the world? And there are not a lot of shows and podcasts dedicated to, and the information that comes out of Cuba is controlled by the government. So it can be kind of hard to get news stories out of Cuba sometimes. So sometimes we gotta pull it out of them. And this week, a bit of sad news. In Cuba, a state company replaces sugar with fructose to make soft drinks and camaway. So it may seem hard to believe, but in Cuba, there is no sugar to produce soft drinks. Of course, sugar cane being one of their primary exports.
Right. Is that why they don't have any right now? Is because they exported
it? They're overly exporting it. So I'll finish reading this.
Yeah,
go for it. But yeah, the Camaway Drinks and Soft Drinks Company decided to resort to the alternative of fructose in response to the shortage of various raw materials. So this might also just be a farming crisis. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's related to trade, but it also seems like related to agriculture and the local economy as a whole. So it's like now, you know, and people always say it's better to get Coke outside of the U.S. because they use real sugar.
Yeah.
And now that's not even the case. Yeah. Like Mexican Coke famously still does, but like, you know, Cuba's one of those dominoes to fall. Now they're doing our version of high fructose corn syrup in their soft drinks. I know. Ain't that a bitch?
I'm convinced that's why my body, in a way, does not look like the average body. It's because of the amount of corn syrup I imbibed as a kid. Truly.
Mm.
You know, not to get too into my body issues, but.
Well, just, I guess, speak to your relationship with high fructose corn syrup.
Well, I mean, I still eat it. I still eat it. I still drink it. I may get an icy at the movie later. Although I will say the ices at the theater that we're going to, it's like self-serve and it just doesn't come out as frothy. But yeah, that's just something I grew up with. I mean, your house was always kind of an anomaly to me growing up because your mom would get like really nutritious things from like Whole Foods and stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't as big of like a soda drinker in general. Like my favorite.
You don't have the sugar bug the way I do.
Right, right. So, you know, I have a little bit more of a sweet tooth than I think I used to. Like, I think that just comes from like growing up. But I still don't like very rich stuff. You know, I don't like anything that's too chocolatey.
Mm. But if it's the right kind of
dessert. I like more like malty. I like flan, you know, I like more custardy kind of desserts that are more mild.
Okay.
That's why I like Asian desserts. I didn't like, it is a compliment in Asian culture if you say that a dessert is not too sweet. That's like the nicest thing you could say about that dessert. I think that's so
funny. In the US, it's like the opposite.
It's like, why isn't it more sweet?
It's like, this could use some sugar.
No, but I love a good mild dessert, you know? So that's kind of, and yeah, I guess I just didn't have a lot of.
With age, creme brulee has become my favorite dessert.
Creme brulee is so fucking good. Yeah, eggy. Give me an eggy ass dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's what we should send to Cuba.
Send fucking creme brulee to Havana.
You know?
Yeah. Put them in your soft drinks. That's like you're doing it wrong.
And then add the corn syrup.
Yeah. Jill, undoing all the progress we made up to this point.
But it's ultimately, I that's just the trend you see across the world. Like even in non-secular societies like a lot of Muslim countries, like my explore page, Brian, on Instagram, as you know, is just populated by men in like Arab attire,
regalia,
that are like doing a TikTok lip sync to their front-facing camera.
Yeah, they know what you like.
But it's kind of sad that capitalism and just all these shortcuts within it end up extending themselves to like literally every place on the planet.
Right. You want to think like, okay, that's how we do it here. That's kind of fucked up. Thank God we have other countries that,
yeah,
you know, source their goods and care about what goes into their food.
Right.
But then the shortcuts of capitalism, that's a great way to put it. Germany, like they have a law from like 1500 that they haven't changed on. You can't call something food unless it like is just food.
Right.
And there are a lot of those old.
It's a great law, man.
These old doctrines in a lot of these, you know, old European civilizations that they still, it's fundamental. It's embedded in their constitution and they have not ratified it or changed, you know, and not for any kind of capitalistic shortcuts. So, I mean, credit where it's due there.
Right. Yeah. And whereas like the the influence of social media in those non-secular countries, at least a lot of those countries are like empires unto themselves because of oil and stuff. Whereas this is more emblematic of Cuba, again, of the great experiment kind of failing and folding in on itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? We've always known Cuba's been in a massive decline, you know, steadily for a long, long time. And it feels like it's just like it's at a point where it's really bad. It's gone from bad to worse to worse to worse. And now it's like, I really don't know how much lower the society can go.
Do you feel vindicated in a way that our ancestors decided to leave?
I don't feel like, I didn't make any choices, right? So it was up to, I'm
just, yeah, maybe not vindicated is the right word, but perhaps relieved or.
I'm very glad, the ironic part is like, as much as we hate Fidel Castro, if Fidel Castro didn't exist, we wouldn't either. Fidel Castro had to.
God, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah. So,
hey, Dad, got back the paternity test.
But yeah,
he's moving to Cuba. He's running against Elian. I'm like, I do know Castro.
He's also like a father. But yeah, I'm sure they feel vindicated. I'm sure all of them feel like they made the right choice. I've never felt a Cuba regret from any one of our relatives. Their decision to move to America, and they tell the stories, and it, you know, and there's the anecdotes and the hardships along the way, but it's never once been met with like, sure wish I could go back.
Right.
I remember there was a time where my Uncle Nini was driving to like, you know, a few of the old Cuban ladies around from like the outlet mall outside of Austin. And this was like, you know, back in the 90s, and he was like driving them, and they were like looking out at the sunset, and they were saying in Spanish, like, how much more beautiful the sunsets were in Cuba. And then Anita's just like laughing his ass off. He's like, if you like Cuba so much, just fucking go back. Like he told them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like,
no Crate and Barrel in Cuba.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Ain't no
candlestick holder you just bought.
Yeah, exactly.
It's obviously bittersweet. I mean, I have so many contradicting feelings around it. And because, of course, the romantic in me, and maybe the person that doesn't fully understand geopolitical reality, is like, what's to stop me from going back? And it's like, oh, no, Gucci, Julian.
I think that is the part of you that doesn't understand geopolitical reality, is having that in the back.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was trying to get you to, like, maybe move to Austin. You know, things have been, like, felt stagnant, you know, probably for both of us after a while. I was like, you know, you should come move to Austin, you know, for, like, a little bit. You know, we'll find you an agent out here, and we can move out to L.A. together. And you're like, Brian, if I'm not living in L.A., like, I'm probably going to just go to South America.
Yeah.
And just
catch me in, like, Ecuador, Guyana.
Oh, man.
It's like, yeah, he bought the old Jonestown compound. I quite discount. No, I wonder who owns that land now.
Is it?
Make it a theme park.
While you sleep. The Kool-Aid's like $5, you know?
Oh, you'd have to sell like Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like
the way the little skull and crossbones like on the bottle.
The way that they sell Butterbeer at Harry Potter World.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Just kind of what I'm imagining. It is in poor taste, but Jonestown was also in poor taste.
Yeah. Continuing our bout of American reverie here.
Go ahead.
I have big plans to go to Universal Studios within the next few months.
Ooh.
You know, maybe take a mushroom chocolate or two. Okay. and just have a time.
Yeah.
But we could discuss this after hours.
Well, is there? Oh, just because I brought up Harry Potter World. That
now exactly. I was like, oh, I'm meaning to tell Brian.
I was like, Julian has a story about Universal.
Just planning.
That's cool. Yeah. News from the motherland. I think we should all eat food, like actual food.
Yeah, the way the Germans just call it food.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot I want to borrow from Germany, but that's one of them.
Yeah, it also speaks to how sugarcane, I imagine, is one of the few things they can export. I don't think there's much of a demand. I mean, I don't know.
It's one of their primary exports.
They don't have the infrastructure to obtain a lot of natural resources or anything like that.
And
especially because it's still state-owned and kind of dusty.
And their demographics are collapsing, too. So that's why I feel like, there's not a whole lot of information, but I feel like a lot of this is like agricultural and economy-based, is that maybe they just don't have the capacity to produce that much sugarcane these days. And,
yeah.
And our parents grew up on sugarcane plantations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was our export. That was our family industry.
Right.
Ain't that about a bitch?
Wow.
Yeah. So that's news from the motherland. It tends to be depressing.
That's too bad.
Most news that comes out of Cuba, but we fight on. Never give up on the mission.
Before we go to Creed 3, everybody, we are going to fight this.
The two people have no intentions of moving there, doing anything about it.
And that's frankly what gives me pause sometimes about commenting on the political goings on of Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Is that we don't have...
I have such a privileged distance from it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just want to share that with our listenership.
But should we not be allowed to talk about anything we have some distance from?
Damn, that's true.
I mean, I just think we can't like overly police what we can and can't talk about. We can acknowledge where our ignorance lies. I think we do okay with that. Like,
yeah,
like we're not pretending to.
I'm not Tucker Carlsoning over here.
Yeah, yeah. So, talk about what you want. That's you know, this shit's meant to be talked about. This shit needs to be shared.
Yeah,
you know. And if we didn't talk about it, people wouldn't know. Like whatever value this gave them, I don't know, but they could take it away.
That's so beautiful and true.
Wow. Thank you. So talk about shit, share your culture, and be honored when other people want to emulate it somehow, and if they do with reverence.
But the question is, can I move on to our next segment, Brian?
I would love to move around to the next segment.
Very well. This next segment is called
Boogie Boogie Bum Bum. I didn't know it was coming, so.
Yeah, I feel like this we're getting quite out of sequence, but whatever. So this segment, I read to Brian a headline from the past week, and he has to come up with a song that headline reminds him of. It could be a tenuous connection. I'm not a harsh judge. I just like seeing the way those wheels turn in there.
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. First headline is, all right, this actually has quite a bit of a backstory to it, but pretty much all you need to know for context is Justin Bieber's wife, Hailey Bieber, mm-hmm. Nepo baby and mm-hmm. model, air quotes, actually Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
This whole time I felt lied to, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was,
No,
totally a Stephen.
Not from you.
Yeah.
I know. My hot take is I think Stephen might be the most handsome out of them, but Alec is the best actor.
Brian.
Oh, no.
The most handsome?
I'm thinking
Alec Baldwin like, in the 90s Billy? Was a... Well, Billy looks simple.
There was... Who was the one who... played who like was supposed to play the role of Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock and it was one of his brothers?
I think that was supposed to be Billy. Steven's blonde with green eyes. Yeah. Well, I guess they all have like striking eyes. I mean, he hasn't aged very well, but he was kind of sexy in the early 90s.
Yeah,
but he was no Alec Baldwin.
All right, I'm sorry. Continue.
Anyway, so Hailey Bieber was essentially making fun of Selena Gomez online.
I'd heard about this.
With Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. They were both being kind of petty and like doing things to like either mimic her or alluding to a video that she had posted, kind of mocking it.
Right. It was about eyebrows, right?
Oh, was it? See, I didn't even know that because it just seems like such a long history of feud between all of these women that I was just
it seemed like a bunch of horse. I was so not interested in this story as I was hearing about
me
it.
Me neither. But my fellow Pisces, Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Who I don't like, but I root for every day of my life, Brian.
Well, now it got interesting.
It's like I, too, have pissed in mop buckets. Did you know he did that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Notorious. So he recently had a birthday party. As I said, he's a Pisces like mwah. And he gave away these weird party favors. It was a lighter. Because keep in mind, he was with Selena Gomez at one point.
Yes.
He gave partygoers a lighter that said, "I'm so thankful that I didn't end up with what I thought I wanted."
Weird.
And not to mention, like, for me, the big takeaway was like, holy shit, like, he misses Selena.
Yeah, it's just weird to...
Also to make your birthday, like, to...
About your birthday.
About your... Against your ex.
Against your ex.
Yeah.
I know.
With your wife present.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're actually A-list, Justin. I need you to act like it more.
Also, there should be NDAs at that fucking birthday if it's actually worth a fuck.
Is this the death of the A-list celebrity? Nothing
stop.
Is sacred. Not this moment, but... A-listers in a
They've
way.
Been saying it for years. And then along came a little actress named Jennifer Lawrence.
I was going to say Margot Robbie.
And Emma Stone, Margot Robbie.
Yeah, she's one.
But for once we have, you know, an American movie star for the first time in what feels like, I don't know, 10 years.
And it's J-Law?
I would say so. And Emma Stone. And
yeah, two actors.
And Kristen Stewart, all of whom are the same age. I mean, they're all pretty much movie stars.
They are. Yeah, they definitely know? Are. They definitely are.
So yeah, what, yeah, I guess.
I'll pull this up on your Spotify.
Oh, cool.
So
Dan, for once, do you have a song before I...
What song does this remind me of? I knew this song even before you finished this story, which...
Wait, do we have the same song today? No, we don't.
You're a rich girl, oh,
CeCe Haley Bieber.
Yeah, CeCe, all these bitches.
Yeah.
On the old man's money, you can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl.
Cool.
I fucking love that song.
Hall & Oates rocks the shit.
I love Hall & Oates.
This is awesome.
Grounds for Separation is a brilliant song that everyone needds to stop this podcast right now.
No, don't stop the podcast. Keep listening. Forget about it.
Put Grounds of Separation in your queue.
Nothing against Hall & Oates, but they've gotten enough streams over the years.
It's never enough of those two. This is the one that I thought of, actually. Current top 40 favorite by my girl SZA.
Oh.
Solana Rowe.
Yeah.
All right, for my fortune.
Now have fun.
Thanks for you all. Things are
impossible. You know, SZA's tough because she's so jazzy in her sensibility that it's like not necessarily on the melody, which is what makes her so dynamic as a vocalist, but it makes it impossible to remember the lyrics. I'm just like, da da dee da da. You know, it's like, it's hard to mimic, I think.
Yeah.
She's so distinct.
No, I know SZA when I hear it. Like,
yeah.
When there's a SZA song, I'm like, that's SZA.
But when
she's up on my list of female artists right now. Just artists in general. But when I think of like female singers right now, I'm like, she's pretty high up there.
Yeah. And I think she's going to be really influential. Bowen Yang, who I have a mutual friend with, apparently told this story to my friend.
He told SZA, you should go for it.
He invented SZA.
SZA owes everything SZA, to Bowen Yang. Dude, no one knows this. He's SZA.
No,
he's SZA.
I'm not spouting those lies. No. He talked to her once and was like, you're the Joni Mitchell of our generation. And she goes, oh, so you really like me. And I thought that was such a great, clever response.
Yeah.
I take it to mean like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, but also, or like,
well, I think she's like, I would love to be.
But yeah, that too.
Yeah. And she's probably like
her lyrics. I'm sure that it had multiple meanings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I love SZA.
So great one. And Rich Girl and Kill Bill. Those are
great
songs.
Yeah. Usually we're not two for two like that, Brian. So the next, this segment's really for me, I think. All right. So did you hear, this is my second Boogie Boogie Bomb Bomb. Did you hear that Ben Savage, formerly
Corey.
Everyone told me I looks like that motherfucker growing
up. I don't
up.
See it at all.
Dude, everyone said. Even though you are like a closeted Jewish man, and he's out of the closet, but
you're both Jews.
But wait, Ben Savage is out? No. That would be
wild. Oh, you mean like he's out as a Jew?
Tell that to his wife, Topanga. She'd be pissed.
Daniel Fischel.
That was Daniel Fischel.
Oh, God, I love him.
But anyway, he, formerly Corey of Boy Meets World, which I grew up watching.
Same.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. He announced a run for Congress. He's running as a Democrat for a seat in the Los Angeles area that is being vacated by Adam Schiff. You didn't hear about that?
No. That's... I don't, you know, why the motherfuck not,
you know?
Well, it's like there are some celebrities where I would, here's what I know about the Savage brothers, Ben Savage, Fred Savage, right? Fred, who started in the Wonder Years. I don't know much, if anything, about them, but I do know those dudes are hard motherfucking workers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much.
Yeah,
I know
they're hard still workers. Relevant despite all odds.
And I like the work that they do. Mm-hmm. Like whatever work they've done, I like the tone of it, the soul of it. So there's like this kind of affiliation with the Savages and maybe having a soul that I've noticed in their art.
Oh, that's cool.
That, will that translate to politics? Like, I don't know. I don't know who else is that. I will say there are.
You know who else made heartfelt movies? Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, this time Bonzo was a real tearjerker. But
God, fuck that guy.
No, I was just gonna say
every time I invoke Reagan, I just have to follow with fuck that guy. I'm sorry. He killed my people, Brian. Keep going.
And this is why not my people, but this is why. Yeah, so I mean, you could have said most celebrities, and I would roll my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Savage, kind of intrigued.
Mm,
yeah,
interesting. You're kind of talking about his oeuvre as if it was like Frank Capra's filmography or something. But it's like, It's a Wonderful Life, 1955, directed by Brent Savage.
No, but the fact that Fred Savage directed Party Down is enough for me to be like, that guy's brother should run for Congress.
God.
Yeah. So what does Ben?
I mean, given actors' track records as politicians, I'm not very hopeful about it. Wait a hand first.
Okay. I thought this was boogie boogie bum bum, but go ahead.
Gozy bum bum. It's like you, bitch.
Julie bum.
didn't I tell you that I was a savage?
Everything for that. I thought it's because the song was Needed Me, and Ben Savage is like, y'all you motherfuckers needed me. Yeah. No, I'm not the hero. Not the hero that we deserve, but the hero you need. Here's mine. Pretty circle meets a square right here.
Totally.
All right. From the classic musical Chicago.
And then razzle dazzle, razzle dazzle.
Give an act with
that is such a large part of the overlap in our Venn diagram, Brian, between Brian and Julian. Musical, like the middle theater. Part. No, it's just that Chicago the musical. It's like there's only one thing in the middle. It's like that's literally what. Oh that's yeah, funny. Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins, Cuban, and the musical Chicago.
In the biggest font of the three.
We're more Chicago fans than we are Cousins
than our Cubans.
Did I play Billy Flynn in high school? Yes. I want to talk about it? No.
I was there.
So don't bother.
I had a great time.
Oh, thank you.
So that concludes
Boogie Boogie Bum Bum. Can we do the Boogie 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 Bum Bum?
That's the first time I did not fuck that up.
Well, I fucked it up before, then you would fuck it up, and we would just, like, fuck each other up.
Yeah,
I think.
Classic Abig still.
Get in a rim. Who fucked up? No, who fucked up? What did you fuck up? What's over there? What? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, why fuck? Okay. So, thank you for Boogie Boogie Bum Bum.
Thank you.
We are getting into the wee minutes, and it's time for my favorite segment. The World According to Jules.
That's the kind of world I'd want to live in.
Is that like the epilogue of the cue card? Like the
log line? Or yeah, no, the slogan?
The slogan, yeah.
It's like it's like on movie posters is what you're talking about, right?
Like the tagline.
Like, yeah, it's like,
yeah, I'm thinking
this Christmas is going to be a little extra red or like something like that.
But more of like a punctuation, more of like an ending, because that's called the tagline.
Oh, right. The tagline.
But I'm thinking more of like, you know, the button.
It's
like, yeah, that's the button.
The kind of world where I don't want to live.
World according to Jules.
Yeah. The kind of world where I don't want to live.
All right. So in the world according to Jules, I read Julian a news story. And what this guy right here, what Julian right here is going to do is he's going to pontificate on this news story for 30 uninterrupted seconds. It has to be a total stream of consciousness. Frankly, the less you know about the subject, the better. I'm going to read you the headline. You're going to give me a total stream of consciousness for 30 uninterrupted seconds.
I was like, good luck trying to interrupt me for 30 solid seconds, Brian.
That I
take a large inhale before we start the clock.
I'm not up to that task. I know that much. And if I think what you said is perfect, I won't even respond.
Oh, that's a new element to this.
I tried to say yesterday.
It really makes me want to get it right, Brian.
You interrupted me.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I tried to say that yesterday, but you know, if I think it's perfect, we'll move on. If I feel just, and this isn't, I'll say something if I feel like it.
Okay.
After 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. So just how I am with both.
We'll either. Exactly.
I was being.
So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
None of this matters. So World According to Jules, mm-hmm. We have some fun news stories this week. And a couple I think will resonate with you. All right. Here's what I think is a fairly positive news story.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, mm-hmm. Neighbors in the north, allows two companies to make and sell cocaine, MDMA, and heroin. Go.
Well, thank God for that. I don't think heroin or even MDMA for that matter should be available commercially. I mean, I'm the kind of guy where with weed, I was like pro-legalization, pro-decriminalization, not pro-legalization. Because once big tobacco and stuff gets their grubby, you know, nicotine-stained fingers all over that, then it's over for these hoes, man. Like, and weed is also too strong. So I don't know. I mean, just going off the model that I've seen with legalizing weed, I would definitely be trepidatious. Also, heroin, what the fuck? Like, one of these is not like the others. Heroin, fuck, that's like, I don't know. Like, how would they sign off on that? I mean, honestly, cocaine too. Neither, I mean, I just think it's, once again, Canada may be too liberal for my sensibilities.
Yeah, okay, so good thoughts. Thank you.
Love a needle exchange.
I love a needle exchange.
But that's different, homie.
So, couple things. Yeah. Okay. My question is conflating, I guess, big tobacco with legalization of marijuana. Like, is there any integration in your mind between the tobacco industries and the weed industries? Maybe just because you brought up, you weren't pro legalization because you were afraid of big tobacco getting involved.
Right.
Is there any,
I still think the it's trending that way. I don't think we've seen it yet in California.
Okay.
If it were to become nationally legal, you could just fill in the blanks.
That actual tobacco companies would get involved with weed, or that weed would become like tobacco companies?
Like, tobacco companies would become investors and you know, shareholders in, like, these already established huge weed companies that have now had a while to really grow.
And they would, like, sprinkle harmful tobacco in there, or that,
or
they would
at least put, like, plexiglass in there like they do with chewing tobacco and cigarettes.
Right. Interesting.
You know?
Interesting. There's probably a lot more.
Yeah, add overlap. Nicotine, I suppose, or not plexiglass, fiberglass.
Yeah, I've always...
Like, oh my God, there's plexiglass. No, it's got to be small. Fiberglass.
I've always been pro just kind of mass legalization in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that is how you take power away from the cartels.
And the prison, and the prison industrial complex.
So I think a lot of problems get solved if we do that. It might... likely would create new problems, but maybe those new problems would not be as bad as a literal border war.
Right. And so this is legalization or decriminalization?
So, well, the big
it's legalization,
this is a step. So it's not even like
legally produce and sell
to produce. So I think this is like your first step towards legalization,
right?
Just general legalization. Jeez. For public use. And if you are going to publicly use, it has to be done at a monitoring facility. I mean, this is my dream world.
Right.
I mean, yeah. It
sounds like a boring ass time.
No, you can't.
It's like, yeah, I got sober ever since I had to go into a controlled environment to do it.
But I think so, you know, because people would be able. Yeah, that's a good thing, Julian, actually. But yeah, because then people will be more able to confront any issue. Like, yes, you could do it in a place where you won't die. And then there's also resources to help you get sober if that is like what your big goal is too.
Yeah.
Because if you do mass legalization and then just leave people to figure out on the streets, like, a lot of bad shit's gonna
happen. Yeah, we say among like 1,000 tent encampments.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've seen it, you know? Yeah. So, and these people don't have a place to go, you know?
Yeah.
So, but helping homeless people doesn't make rich people money.
Right.
You know? And so, but unfortunately, it doesn't get done.
Right.
I wish it did. So I think this is like a step in a general direction I want to go to.
I really worry about Canada, and I'm going to move by the time they legalize this.
So that, man, Canada would feel so ashamed that, like, us and fucking...
Yeah, it's like the way Americans treat Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it.
Well, just like rough, you know, these two no good Knicks in rough and tumble Hollywood. They're like, they feel bad for us, eh? Shouldn't be. Yeah. So thank you for that hot, hot take. Your next news story.
Yes.
In the world, according to Jules. I have a couple that, see, do I do the scary one or the fun one? You're going to get all of them either way.
I think we've already erred on the side of scary.
Okay. Let's do the fun one.
Okay. I like, well, what kind of question is that? Let's, like, you want a fun time or a scary time?
Oh my God, it's a bear! Okay, you are going to like this one.
Okay.
Pear jailed. Pears and two people. Not like a pear of the fruit.
Oh, okay.
Jailed. I know.
I was like, why would they ever do that to a delicious pear?
Justice for the pear! Like, Julian, the time hasn't started yet. A pair of people jailed after 1.6 million euros of wine was stolen at a high-end restaurant in Spain. Just some details.
Mm-hmm.
Priscilla Guevara and Constantine Dimitriou were also ordered to pay 750,000 euros to insurers over the theft of 45 bottles. After this theft was reported, they caught the pair. Priscilla, former Mexican beauty pageant contestant, and Constantine, he's a Romanian Dutchman, they were arrested in Croatia. The wines have yet to be recovered, but documents released by the court over this trial described a crime that was seemingly mapped out months in advance. The two were believed to have visited the hotel at least three times before the woman made a reservation using a fake Swiss passport. She arrived carrying just a backpack and a man not registered as an overnight guest. Before heading up to the room, the two took a tour of the restaurant's prized wine cellar, which is where they believe the theft took place. So this fabulous pair of people stole millions of dollars of wine. They're now paying restitution and looking at jail time. Your thoughts?
Well, for starters, that news story was far too long. I know you were reading from the article, but now let me talk about the actual article. Now that I've said that, of course, I salute them. I don't think they should be stealing wine, though, from Spain. Like, take it from Napa. Take it from a place that's, like, less on the... I don't know. I Team Spain on this one, only because I feel like it's not in a full decline, but, you know, it's kind of... In a way, it's... I don't know. It's felt the harsh hand of the unification under the euro in ways that, oh, I don't know, Germany or Switzerland hasn't seen.
Time.
Actually, is Switzerland part of the euro? Or do they just operate godlessly and alone? Like,
no, Switzerland's
in the EU. But anyway, I love me some Spain.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Switzerland is not in the EU or an EEA member.
That makes sense because they're so just on their own.
Yeah, and she used a Swiss passport, and I was like, that is like the most classic move of the scammer, is to have the Swiss passport.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm sure due to like their extradition laws and their privacy laws, things like that too. Like, if there's one place where you'll like have right, like Austria, I hear is really good for that, you know.
So did they pretend to be like people of note?
I guess so. You know, just guests of this hotel.
Like a Swiss count and his wife were coming today, guys.
They'd been casing the joints.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you love your fancy swindlers, but yes. You hear your team Spain because you feel a reverence towards Spain.
I do, despite all the colonial implications that has. But so
why did they bring nice architecture to California amidst the rape and murder and pillaging? Jeez Louise, do I love a hacienda tile or a saltillo tile. Yeah, well, and you're like, they're not in like full decline. That's probably just you being generous. It's like they are full blown. And I guess, could you feel bad for an empire that's declined?
Yeah, it is very European of these guys to not just like shoot themselves after being caught. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, I don't know. They're like, yeah, we'll pay it.
Got us.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, great. It's going towards new roads as well. That's wonderful. Here it's like, all right, we've surrounded the van. We found him across state lines.
All right, take his money, put it into a new F-16 fund.
Right, exactly. So yeah, always. I mean, I do love my my swindlers that pose as fancy people.
Uh-huh.
But I do love me some Spain.
All right, so you know what? Spain, Spanish government, you got one on your team.
Yeah, the world according to Jules certainly has one country in it, and that's Spain.
All right.
What are we at, Brian? Because I think I'm over this part, and now I want to do the gay item of the week.
Okay.
Oh, you had one more?
I have one more.
What are we at, though?
All right.
Just indulge me. What's the timestamp really
quickly? Don't worry about it.
I know people don't like me asking that, but...
Have they told you that?
No, but I can just feel you and Grant stiffen when I ask.
You don't see Grant listen to it.
That's true, but I can visualize it.
Thank you to our producer, Grant. All right, this will be a quick one.
Okay, fine.
Ex-Army private gets 45 years for plot against his unit. Captain Jacob Ferris, who is the head of this plotter's unit. Here's the part that's fun for you. Their platoon was known as the Cowboys, and they were riding high. They were chosen among 20 platoons for a sensitive mission, only to find that one of theirs had deceived and betrayed them and left them labeled as a platoon that had a terrorist. So, an army private plotted against his unit. He was going to cause this mass casualty event as basically being an infiltrator of the United States Army. And he got sentenced 45 years for that plot.
Oh, because obviously he's liable for their deaths because he's the
troop. He was plotting to kill his comrades. Yeah, his fellow soldiers.
Do we know why?
He was linked to a extremist group.
Oh, I see.
So there was like this far, you know, super far right, far left, whatever. Uber.
I believe the charge is treason.
It is mad treason.
Why does that only get 45 years? This is where I get all nationalistic and red state. Like 45 years, motherfucker, you do not come for our soldiers. Maybe weapons manufacturers, but come on.
Yeah.
Really?
So
you said Plotters Unit, which would be a great improv team name.
Plotters Unit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
There was a Grindr profile I saw last night that was captioned Orally Inclined. And I was like, that is a good improv team name. Hey guys, we're Orally Inclined, and to get started, we'll get a one-word suggestion of anything.
I think the whole audience just stunned. We're like, did I just hear what I thought I heard?
It's like, we knew that, but what's your team name?
That's fun. So you know, world according to Jules, this guy needs to hang in a public square.
Yeah, or like a shooting range in private.
Okay, but you don't want him to ever see the light of day again. Like you... Does it matter to you if he's in jail or if he's executed? Does that matter at all to you?
It's such a character flaw to to pretend to align yourself with something and then actively work against it.
Mm. Yeah, it's subterfuge. It's treason.
Yeah. I know. It's like, be consistent, bitch. If you're going to side of the jihadists, fucking
be a jihadist.
Look like Bin Laden, motherfucker.
Oh my God.
Like, so I need, so, you know.
So if an American.
I need a mid-aught stereotype of a terrorist if you're actually going to go there, bitch.
If an American went undercover in the Taliban,
uh-huh.
Would you be like, okay, that's shady, guys? Or would you be rooting for the American?
Oh, if he was actually like an informant?
Yeah.
Well, of course I'd be rooting for him.
So you're on.
But I think the Taliban should try him for plotting against them.
Right.
I'm an equal opportunist.
Right. So, you know, because you said, I think it's really shady to be on a team and then go against the interests of that team, but it matters to you what that team represents, or like, you know, your choose, like that means
speak impeccably. It's one of the four agreements. You know, if you're going to come for me, you better fucking tell me, bitch.
I'm not coming for you.
No, I'm just saying the general you, the editorial you. Whether it's jihadists or right wingers or whatever, I'm like, I need you to know that that's what.
Wear a shirt with your designation on it.
I mean, I literally bought a shirt that said faggot.
I
wore to dinner on Sunday the Lord's Day,
and it was, I like that shirt.
It's actually a nice fit.
It's a really nice shirt.
Yeah, thank you. Which is a wonderful segue for our final segment.
Oh, what is it?
Gay item of the week.
Oh, today, what is the gay item of the week this week, Jorian?
Well, when you first asked me to do this, I misunderstood you and thought it was like a physical object.
Ryan, I more meant like
a news item.
Yeah, pop culture.
So I'll give you both kinds of
gay goodies.
The first gay item of the week is a tushy bidet. A tushy bidet.
Okay.
The gay item of the week is a tushy bidet. Brought to you by our sponsors, Tushy. Stanley Tucci.
I think I know what this is.
A bidet?
Well, a bidet, sure.
Yeah,
and
it's just like the most household of all the brands, because it's getting crowded out there in the bidet market.
Really?
For sure.
I guess I get it.
South Park had a whole episode about bidets, essentially.
They did. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet that also led to an increase in bidet sales.
Probably. I used mine the next day.
Yeah.
I don't have a Tushy bidet, though, full disclosure. I don't know what brand.
Okay, so the gay item that we use, the Tushy bidet, is that like a particular brand well-known in gay circles, or is that just like a...
Well, now it's like shorthand for a bidet. It just has so much brand recognition that you're like, oh, you have a Tushy, instead of, oh, you have a bidet.
You have a Tushy.
And that's because we're so anti-Francophile up in this bitch.
Really?
Freedom fries? Come on.
You're talking about America.
Calling a bidet a tushy is the equivalent of calling
French fries. I thought you meant like
freedom
fries. I thought some men, yeah, okay, I get that really is. But I thought you meant like the gay community as a whole were like anti-Frank, you know, anti-Franco.
No. Like just America is very like, ah, the French, so fancy with their silent T's.
I know. We owe them our existence, but they're also really annoying. So that's cool. I got nothing but love for the people of France.
Now for the gay news item.
Okay, so the item of the week, a tushy bidet.
A tushy bidet.
What is the gay news item of the week, Joanne?
Harry Styles makes One Direction.
Arnie gay.
Well, he Arnie wishes. Once he figured out it made him money, he was like, yeah, I'm non-binary.
I'm like, bitch. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Harry Styles makes Directioners go insane on social media after he posted a photo of himself at the gym in a One Direction t-shirt, which I didn't even realize their relationships were that fraught. I didn't realize he was so viewed as like having been in,
like, he's ostracized, or he's like the,
or he's just the one, like, the most successful of the bunch.
Right. There was also Zayn. I just remember Zayn, this thing was a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But his career hasn't taken off the same way, I guess.
No, and he has a lot of anxiety and things like that.
Mm, poor guy.
But
so
you got it. You got to do the shows.
Is this causing an uproar because,
well, he deleted it afterward. But of course, it's the internet. So everyone screenshotted it and was like, oh my God.
That's what's stupid is whenever you delete a tweet, I'm like, it's already out there. It's already permanent.
I know.
So just don't hit post.
I know.
You really are going to do that. You should not be allowed to delete tweets. That's my hot take.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's my hot take.
Thank God I don't have
fucking a live by the sword.
I'm so bad about Instagram stories. Like 20 full hours will go on. Then I'm like, I have a double chin in that.
And then delete it. It's like, bitch, it's been up for the whole
thing. Called me out on it too. They're like, where did that photo go?
That's hilarious.
I'm like, why are you so obsessed with me? But the phrase "he deleted it" in all caps was trending on Twitter as a result. And there were obviously a cornucopia of wonderful memes that came along with it.
Did this fuel speculation that they might get back together or something like that? Or
I don't think that's remotely in the cards.
Right.
So yeah, this was just kind of a low week for gay news. I didn't have anything on the White Lotus cast or anything. So here I am resorting to talking about Harry. I mean, Harry Styles.
Jennifer Coolidge hasn't done anything since her photo shoot.
No, I don't think so.
Damn.
No. I saw some videos of her on Friends, though, with Lisa Kudrow, and Lisa Kudrow, like, cannot keep a straight face.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just comedic excellence, just bouncing one.
Lisa Kudrow is so motherfucking funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love her.
Her,
I was telling us about
deadpan, I was spacey.
Like, her laugh is like inhaling nitrous.
You're right.
It's just, she's just has such a tantalizing presence in a way that
she really does. She's magnetic.
She's magnetic.
Yeah, she draws you in.
Yeah.
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 That, you know what? Friends, like, the cast had such a unique chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fake that chemistry.
Yeah. Even though I'm not as infatuated with it.
No.
To be honest.
Me neither. But that is what made it magical.
Yeah. It was kind of a zeitgeisty, it was lightning in a bottle.
And they were having fun. And you had fun watching them. And that was like, I don't care if the jokes were bad, you know?
Yeah. And they weren't always bad.
No, they weren't. And there was...
I think Euphoria is kind of the heir apparent to Friends, to be honest.
Really? I mean, I thought How I Met Your Mother was a really poor man's knockoff of Friends.
I guess. But it doesn't have that same sex component that I think Friends...
Totally.
How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I mean
besides
Neil Patrick Harris was literally raping chicks and making jokes about it.
Yeah, but he was kind of the outlier in the cast. It's quite domestic.
Well, and also Ted, this is one of the... I fucking hate How I Met Your Mother. But because Ted...
I enjoyed a few seasons.
...is always bitching about, like, oh, I can't find the perfect girl. And he has a different girl every episode. And he's like,
no.
Oh, I just want to find love. And he's just slamming chicks all over New York, left and right. And I'm like, you are full of shit.
Slamming chicks. I would never use that phrase, right? That is not an over-popular Venn diagram. I'm like, oh God!
But that is the vernacular this show makes me use.
Right. That's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah, because like that's not how I would describe it.
Yeah.
But in the context of watching the show, what other word am I supposed to use?
Right.
Barney's talking about using playbooks to pretend to be different people to have sex with women.
Right.
And getting them into danger. He's talking about stripping naked in their living room.
In a simpler time, Harry Styles would have been on How I Met Your Mother. And now he's just has this like prestige glorification.
And instead we got Britney. Which was actually a big part of her comeback at the time.
Well, it was under her conservatorship, so it's kind of heartbreaking. But
it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of the narrative of she was getting her life back together with Vegas.
Right.
But you could tell she was happy to be out.
Right.
Interacting with people.
She's someone who should be allowed to delete everything they've ever posted.
You shouldn't be allowed to delete anything you've ever posted unless
you're Britney.
You're Britney
Spears.
And maybe one or two others. You can have like a tribunal audit your social media, your situation, and maybe get deleting privileges. But for the most part, mean what you say. Just don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.
Just post and live with it. And then we'll all be better people for it. Because I don't know. It's like deleting history in a way. I don't really believe you shouldn't delete tweets, but I guess in that way, I don't like what it represents that.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, Harry Styles could tweet something, delete it, and then create this whole storyline of, well, why did he delete it? It's like, it doesn't matter because it's already in the ether.
Yeah.
And it's already permanent.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the gay advent of the week. This has been another fabulous episode.
It's been so good.
A slamming episode. We slammed so many subjects today.
Slamming subjects left and right.
I know we're about to slam Creed.
We're about to slam Creed and watch him slam on Jonathan Majors, right?
Fine, you figured out why I'm actually going.
All right.
It's a boxing movie.
Yeah, that'd be cool if Jonathan Majors had just like a cup somewhere in the movie as like a reference to the cup story that we covered.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
it's a cute callback.
Yeah, cute callback. Well, thank you all very much from the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
Wait, really quickly. If you're in the LA area, because this will be next week that this airs. So Friday, really quickly, Brian, I have to plug this. I'm sorry. Friday, March 17th, 8 p.m. Look up Stephanie Fleury Studio, Fleury. I have a musical improv show. I'd love for you to go. Brian actually accompanied us at one point.
Yes, we
do make up musicals on the spot. It's incredible. It's literally magic to behold. Anyway, had to do that plug, Brian.
Yeah, no, and I might as well brag about the fact that you needed an accompanist at the last minute. And
Brian dropped his plans.
I literally dropped my plans to bring my piano. And I fucking nailed it.
You nailed it, bro.
It was musical improv. I've never played a musical improv show before.
So
I've never really played public.
So impressive.
Thank you. You're rolling your eyes as you say this, but I was just proud.
You gotta wrap it up.
I know we gotta wrap it up.
Sing your own praises.
But let me plug my thing.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna be in Austin. I fly out tomorrow. I'm gonna be there for South By. I have a show this Monday, the 13th. It's gonna be the day this drops. So if you're listening the day after it drops, you already missed it. But Monday, March 13th, the String Theory Comedy Show. It's going to be at 7:30 on West Anderson Lane. Look it up. Buy tickets. I'll see you there. Would love to see y'all there.
Mine's free.
It's also at LA. So if you're in Austin.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a real Sophie's choice for our listeners.
Come to see. Yeah, String Theory Comedy Show, 7:30 on 1111 West Anderson Lane. I love you all. This has been the Guantanamo Bay's podcast. Good night.
Hasta luego.
Merry Christmas.